podcast LGBTIQ podcast with the Micah Damon.
Hello, hey, welcome again to No Strings, Nigeria's first and only LGBTIQ podcast, and I'm Mike Damon. On this week's episode, we are going to be talking to another Nigerian filmmaker whose first ever debut chronicled the lives of LGBTIQ Nigerians, focusing on their stories and allowing them to tell it with their own voices. The documentary actually gained some kind of attention, both local and international, but because of its, you know, very nature and content, it did not gain the needed anticipated attention, and I am sure it could be one of the many reasons why most of us do not know about it. Well, that's about so much I can reveal for now. As usual, I will take some few seconds out and then come back to be with you. Don't go anywhere, I'll be back. Mike Damon here, No Strings will definitely continue.
This is a cry from LGBTs in Nigeria. We say, stop the hate. Stop homophobia. We are your brothers and sisters. And above all, we are Nigerians.
This is a message from Mike Damon for No Strings.
It's No Strings with Mike Damon. Hey, welcome back to No Strings, Nigeria's first and only LGBTIQ podcast. And if this is your first time and you're wondering what this is all about, well, No Strings is a Nigerian weekly LGBTIQ podcast, and it talks LGBTIQ issues every week, focusing more on issues concerning the Nigerian LGBTIQ community, seeking to inform us about the reality of being LGBTIQ in Nigeria. And again, so many people would say, okay, Mike, what is LGBTIQ or what does it mean? Well, it means lesbian, gay, bisexual, intersex, and queer. That's about that. Now let's focus on what we have for this week's episode. Before the break, I said that we would be talking to a Nigerian filmmaker whose first ever debut is a documentary focused on the lives of LGBTIQ Nigerians, and as well features expert opinions on the subject of homosexuality in Nigeria. He is going to be talking to us about that documentary and why, amongst every other subject in the world, he decided to choose the subject of homosexuality, given that majority in Nigeria frowns upon it and either consider it as a taboo or something that is abhorrent, as according to our President Buhari, when he was questioned about the subject in the White House. And also, some people say it is something that should not be talked about in the open. Well, that Nigerian filmmaker is Habib Lawal. Please, let's welcome him officially to No Strings. Hello, Habib. Thank you so much for coming on to No Strings, Nigeria's first ever LGBTIQ podcast. I really do appreciate. Now, Habib, for the benefit of some of my listeners who are only hearing about you for the first time, can you tell us briefly a bit more about yourself and what you do?
My name is Habib Lawal. I'm a filmmaker. I'm originally from Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria, to be precise. And I currently live in New York. That's pretty much it.
Okay, I have come to understand that you make films, and it wasn't too long ago you made your debut with the documentary Veil of Silence that dealt exclusively with the issue of homosexuality in Nigeria. Now, why choose the subject instead of going mainstream?
Well, it wasn't so much of me making a choice, to be honest. I remember I was approached by Olumide Makanjola, who is the program director of TIERS, the Initiative for Equal Rights in Nigeria, which is an organization that caters to MSMs in that demographic, and also sexual minorities and people who are at risk. And you know, at that point, there was a lot of controversy about the bill, and it was pending a signature from the then president, Goodluck Jonathan. I said it was such a major issue of discourse in Nigeria at the time. And he thought that it would be nice to make a film about it. It sounded like a wonderful idea to me, and one that I knew that, you know, those kind of movies are not you don't tell them every day. Especially in Nigeria, no one is really telling LGBT stories. And I thought, you know, I just finished film school, at the time, and I was trying to get my hands dirty. I just thought, you know, it'd be nice to get on this if it's done properly. You know, it could be something. And it's always good to lend your skill to something worthwhile. You know, you want to try to write your name in the history book, you know. And also tell stories about people that you know, tell stories about yourself, you know. And not just, you know, it was an opportunity for me to tell a story that was familiar and a story that I could relate with, as opposed to someone just coming in and because when you hold the brush, you paint what you see, right? So
yeah,
that basically was it.
Okay. This documentary that I'm so excited about, please, can you tell us briefly about, you know, what one would see if they eventually get to see Veil of Silence? I mean, in terms of which people were involved, and maybe briefly about the storyline.
We talked to a couple of gay people in Nigeria who were very gracious and really generous to come on the film to share their stories, because we wanted to hear first hand from people, you know, share their experiences and their stories and their views about the bill. Also, we had a human rights activist, some legal practitioner, medical expert. You know, just come on and, you know, talk about the bill from their own lenses, you know, to sort of, talk about the implications of the bill, and also kind of put a spotlight on the bill. What exactly does the bill say? Cause I found out while making this film that a lot of people were only aware of the heading. Which is the same-sex marriage anti-sex marriage prohibition bill, which is quite misleading if you look at it, because it makes it look like it's about marriage, but it's not about marriage. It's about criminalizing human rights. And so the film spotlights this and expatiates on it more, and also talks about the implications of, you know, what could happen if the bill eventually gets signed by the president and goes into law. Because at the time it hadn't, they were waiting for the president's signature, and, you know, it was a matter of would he sign it, would he not sign it. Yeah, that's basically what people would find out when they watch the film.
Okay, so how was the reception? I mean, how did people react to its content?
Oh yeah, we had a world premiere, the BFI Flair, London LGBT Film Festival in March/April. It wasn't March actually, of 2014, and it was amazing. It was a great experience. I was in London for that premiere, and it had like a huge support, you know. We had people coming up and, you know, saying thank you for the stories being told. It was a really great experience. It's all been positive, and that screening also led to several other screenings, because we have festival programmers, you know, wanting to program the film afterwards. It was a really great experience.
Nice. So, did you ever have fears that your involvement with the issue of homosexuality, you know, would dent your image and create rooms for labels, especially in a country like Nigeria, you know, where majority kick against the subject, as I hate to use the word issue?
To be honest, I think I was very naive when I made the film. So I thought, you know, I didn't think that there would be any, you know, any implications to me myself, because I thought I was telling a story. As a filmmaker, you tell stories as long as they're true, as long as they're, you know, I'm talking about documentaries now, as long as they're genuine, you want to tell them, and it doesn't matter whether it's a popular truth or not. All that matters is who's holding the canvas, who's painting, who's holding the pen, who's writing, and what their convictions are. Even if you believe it to be true, then that's all that matters, I think, in filmmaking. So, and that was my point of view as at the time that I made the film. I had no idea that, you know, naturally people from back home, especially the last time I visited, I had some really funny experiences, and, it's been a mixed feeling, really. It's been mixed reactions from people back in Nigeria. But everywhere else, it's been like people commend you for the bravery, for thoughtfulness, for flagging the flag, It's been different back home. I had no idea. If at all that I had any fear, it was for the people that came on the film, the gay people that we interviewed. I remember having a conversation with a couple of them and saying, are you sure you want to do this? Because they're putting themselves on camera and they leave back home. And as at the time, I already moved to New York because I just finished a film school and I was doing my 1 year post-completion exercise. So I knew I was going to go back to New York after making the film, but they were still going to be back home. So if at all I had any fear whatsoever, it was for those people. I thought, they were really brave for doing that. So I didn't think, that there'd be any implications or any, but I mean, I'm still here regardless of whatever anybody thinks, whatever anybody says. That's a project that I'm really proud of. I'm proud of what we made out of it, within the time frame that we made the film. I'm proud of everyone that was involved in the project, and I'll do it again. So, no regrets.
Okay. So, initially, when the ideas were conceived for Veil of Silence, did people try to talk you out of it? And was there a time when you felt like, okay, I don't want to go ahead with this? And if yes, what changed your mind?
I didn't really tell many people about it, to be honest. And anyone that I sensed was going to oppose the idea, I always just told them that I was making a film about human rights, which is true, really. It's just, I didn't break it down to the integrity. So I'll just say, I'm making a film about human rights. And that would end the conversation because I knew maybe the person would give me a sermon about, oh, you shouldn't make it, blah, blah, blah. And when I'm convinced about something, I try to not, get anyone who's going to be very discouraging involved. So I really didn't have anyone who tried to talk me out of it because I told the right people. I was very, it was kind of on the ground, You want to make sure that you shoot the film in peace and nobody tries to sabotage the process. Especially in that kind of climate, that Nigeria was at the time, prior to passing the bill.
Okay. I am particularly, curious, just like as I have always been, why the subject and how important is it to you?
Why the subject? Why not? why not? Why not a subject? I think that, I'm tired of watching the same stories every day. I want to tell, stories, you want to see different representation in film. There's a filmmaker, Justin Siemens, who's the director of Dear White People. And he says something. He says, if you do not see yourself in the media, then you need to create, you need to put yourself there. You need to create your own reality. You need to tell us, we want to see your own reality. We want to see what you see. We want to see the world through your eyes.
Mm.
You know, so if you don't see yourself in films, instead of lamenting and saying, oh, they're not telling mm-hmm. stories about black people, they're mm-hmm. not telling stories about Asian people, they're not telling stories about gay people, you know, put mm. yourself there, you know. So really, I think that, you know, that was exactly what we wanted to do with it.
Okay. So, Habib, your documentary, Veil of Silence, how important is it, you know, to the Nigerian LGBTIQ community in general?
It's very important to the LGBT community because this is a community that has been sidelined. And like I already said before, they don't have their stories being told. Usually when you see any story about homosexuals or lesbians or transgender, I don't really think trans people have been represented at all in the Nigerian media. Or bisexuals. It's usually from a negative end. You know, nobody tries to get close to these people and tell the stories from a really personal, objective point of view. It's always very subjective. It's always very... They're always demonized. They're always antagonized. Mm. It's
True.
Always very negative. So I think it's important for the LGBT community to have films like this that is on their side. But not necessarily in a very oversympathetic way, but it just tells the story and allows people to sort of, you know, make up their mind, you know. So we need representations of LGBT people, and a film like Veil of Silence, because they're not even that many, you need, it's very important to the LGBT community because it tells their story, it spotlights their travels and, you know, their struggles. It's really important for the LGBT community in Nigeria. You know, I think it's one of those projects that you can always reference in conferences, in symposiums, in gatherings, you know.
Okay, thank you so much, Habib. We'll take a quick time out now to finally come back to join up with Habib Lawa to talk Veil of Silence. I'll take a quick short break, and then we hear from our supporters now. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Mike Damon will definitely be right back, and No Strings will continue. I'll be back shortly.
You're listening to No Strings. Hey, catch up with all your top and local international LGBTIQ stories on KidaDiaries.com. KidaDiaries, we're here, we're queer, and we're fab.
No Strings is proudly supported by KidaDiaries.com.
Do you know that you can be a part of No Strings? Yes, you can be. Support your voice, our voices, be an ally. For a membership and support and partnership information, please email import@nostringspodcast.com or visit www.nostringspodcast.com. Of course, we always love to hear from you.
It's No Strings with Mike Damon.
Welcome back to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBTIQ podcast. And I am Mike Damon. Here in No Strings, we are still talking with Habib Lawa, and he's discussing his documentary with us, Veil of Silence. Yes, I know some people are saying, oh Mike, I want to see this now. So let's talk to Habib. So Habib, how can individuals access the documentary just in case they want to see it?
It's currently screening at film festivals. I know that we have plans to put it on DVD at some point and also online. But if you follow the Facebook page, which is just Veil of Silence, you get updates on, you know, subsequent screenings and when it's available online or DVD. You have to follow the Facebook page. Veil of Silence. So add me on Facebook, Happy Blah Blah, and you're going to get updates on the film. You can also the Initiative for Equal Rights, TIES, on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. TIES, the Initiative for Equal Rights. There'll be updates on all these platforms as soon as they're available.
So how's life at the time after the official release of Veil of Silence? I mean, what challenges came after then? Because I am guessing some people must have challenged your involvement with Veil of Silence.
I've had people blast me. Besides some personal experiences that I'm not really going to share for certain reasons, but I've had really nasty people, you know. I had someone who is in the industry who I was having a conversation with, and we went on and on about how I respect you so much, and why can't you tell other stories? Why tell stories about gay people? You know, apparently people were disappointed, really, because it's like, you know, I don't know. People have expectations, and I didn't meet them, but it's fine. I think in life you always have to challenge the status quo and do what feels right to you. I don't think I should bother myself about you know,
people thinking,
what people thought about it and how they're challenging my involvement, because at the end of the day, I don't think that their challenge or their feelings or whatever it is enough to stop me, you know. I'm gonna have to make the film, and I'm gonna make any film that's related to that subject, as long as it feels right, and as long as it's gonna be told without insulting anybody. It's, you know, I always want to get on board with projects that are, you know, that I feel like no one is really telling, and they need to be told, you know.
What you have done indeed takes courage, and a whole lot of people say that it is needless to fight. And the reason is that we are insignificant. Okay, say like my podcast that doesn't really gain much attention, and your documentary that a whole lot of people do not know about, given its nature and content. Do you think that we are fighting a lost cause and our efforts do not or will not amount to anything?
I don't think we're fighting in vain. No, I don't. It may not be known by the world. You have to also look at it this way. You know, if we had lots of money, you know, because we live in a world where money's everything. You know, you need money to promote your work. You need money to put it on platforms that are more mainstream. You know, so I don't think you're doing bad. And I don't think the film is doing badly either. It would be nice to get across to more people, but I don't think it's in vain, because there are people who have seen the film and have seen your work, and it makes them happy. They you know, it keeps them alive to know that there's something that is serving their purpose. So you can't take that away. You know, all the people that love the film, that love your side, they support it, that are happy that it exists. You can't take that away just because you wish you had more people. You know? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I think that even if they're just 2-3 people, your fight is valid. It's important. It's not in vain. You know? And most of the time, works like this usually take time to really reach their potential. You know, like maybe years to come, people are referencing it as something that was very pivotal in history. You know, you don't have an idea of how far your work. Sometimes I think we're not the right people to really evaluate our work and how much impact it has on people. Just because we always have expectations, and if we don't meet this expectation, we don't see anything else. You know, so I don't think the fight is in vain. No, I don't think what we're doing is in vain. I think that what we're doing amounts to something. I think that there are people who have been touched and who have been influenced by what we do, you know, and all that means something.
Now that's reassuring. Again, some people say that Nigeria is not ready for anything LGBT, and so therefore implying that we should wait. Do you really believe that now is not a good time to put up a fight? And do you honestly believe that Nigerians will ever be ready someday on their own? And what factors do you think could contribute to creating an atmosphere for acceptance?
Well, I've had this conversation, I think it was at BFI. If Nigerians are ready. I think they're waiting for them to be ready is a trap. They're never going to be ready if you don't make them ready. And how do you make them ready? It's by telling more LGBT stories, you know. The more you see something, you have to also understand that they're reacting based on what they have internalized. You know, they've been told right from birth that this is the status quo, and anything different, they have to challenge it. So how do they come from that to accepting or understanding is by constantly not shoving anything into your face, but you could, because you're not shoving something into your face means you're saying, take this, you have no choice. No. It's by saying, look, I understand that this is your point of view, but can you give me a moment and see me for what I am? And then we can go from there. You know what I mean? So the more we have representations of people in the media, on TV, and the more, I've also noticed something that also transforms people's mindset is when a family member, someone they know, trust and love comes out. Yeah. It changes their perception because it's always, you know, gay people, it seems like a very distant notion. So it's easy to sort of demonize that person and say, oh, it's evil, you know. But when it's someone you know, especially when it's a sweet, loving person, you know, you start asking questions. And it's powerful when you start asking questions. It leads you somewhere better than where you were, you know. You go from that complacent spot to actually evolving. Because when you ask questions, you get answers that you never knew before. Your mindset shifts. So I think that once we start having more of these stories well, as much as I do not like the people that tell the stories in a way that demonizes gay people, I'm not also for, you know, just because you want to make people love gay people, then you now make this really over sensationalized movie that is so, you know what I mean, that is just so on the nose. You know, there has to be a very pretty way to tell the story in a way that the story captures people, but also they're able to see the humanity in these people. And you know, we're in the age of social media, we cannot minimize the importance of pop culture. It's really important. You know, if we have maybe celebrities or female people who are coming out and talking about their experiences, it's not easy, but it also helps to put a face and understand better, you know. I think they'll get ready when we are bold enough to keep pushing boundaries, you know. Even if it's one person a day, you know, that's something. And I also think that it's gonna get better with the next generation. You have to understand that this generation, you know, it's gonna take time to sort of convert them. But the younger people growing up, they're watching new, you know, these new shows, these new films that are telling these stories that they didn't used to tell. They're reading coming out stories, wonderful stories, like stories of Caitlyn Jenner, Levon Corpse. You know, so it's going to do a whole lot. I think that with time, maybe not in the next 5 years, but I don't think it's going to be too long. There's going to be a shift. I don't know what kind of shift. I don't know if it's going to be major or minor, but there's going to be a shift.
Now, some people will channel your attempt at creating Veil of Silence as some kind of a support for homosexuality in Nigeria. Just in case, you know, what will you say to these line of thinking?
Well, I'm not offended by that. Am I in support of homosexuality in Nigeria? I'm in support of people being themselves. The only time that I'm not in support of homosexuality is when someone is using it for dubious reasons, or someone is using it to take advantage of kids or people, and it's not two consenting adults. But as long as they're two consenting adults who just like heterosexual sex, I'm in support of it. So if they say making the film is in support of homosexuality, so be it. I'm not offended by that. I don't even think that that's something to ruffle my feathers, you know. I'm not offended, and I'm not going to challenge that. I think that that's very accurate.
So, what new projects are you currently working on, and when should we be expecting it? I'm sure it's going to be something really sweet, just like Veil of Silence. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm currently editing my new film. It's a psychological thriller short. It's called Alibi.
Mm.
And I'm really excited about it.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that's all I'm allowed to say about it right now. We're editing and
mm.
hopefully we have a major premiere in, the first quarter of next year.
Mm.
2016. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, Habib Lawal, and you get more updates on that.
It's already sounding so interesting. Habib, what is or are your last words for members of the LGBTIQ community, the Nigerian LGBTIQ community who are listening to you right now? Mm.
To every member of the LGBTIQ community who are listening to me right now, I just want to say that your story matters.
Mm.
Keep sharing it. Keep living your truth. Keep fighting. Do not for a second guess yourself. Do not for a second believe in the negativity that anyone is telling you. Do not for a second let the slow progress that the community might be making dissuade you.
Mm.
Keep fighting and keep, you know, inspiring the young ones. Keep being yourself. Keep being truthful to yourself. And stay safe. Be careful.
Mm.
The people who are going to want to take advantage of the very fragile climate due to the bill that has been signed.
Mm.
Be careful of, you know, hanging out with strangers. Try and just, you know, while we're trying to make sure that the bill is repealed, try and keep safe, try and, you know, just, and I know that the organizations who, you know, offer support, moral support, I don't know, I do not necessarily have all the details, but I know that there's TIERS, the Initiative for Equal Rights. You know, you can go to their community center, go online, Google their name, their office address, and their phone numbers. They have a new helpline for people who are in very complicated situation. If you're being compromised, if you find yourself in compromising situation, you're being taken advantage of, or if you're being discriminated or abused, you know, you can call them, you can get support. Do not suffer in silence, you know. Just make sure that you tell the right person. Yeah, just keep living in your truth. That's all I have to say. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for having me on the show. Thank you for what you're doing for the LGBT community in Nigeria.
Mm.
This is really nice, that we have a podcast.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really, really great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the work that you do, and I hope that, you know, you get as much followership as possible, because this is a really good initiative that I think that more people should tune up to. Thank you so much.
Mm. Okay, thank you so much, Habib, for coming on to No Strings and for that. Now let's go feel a little bit of the documentary. Here's the trailer. I'll be back shortly.
You're listening to No Strings.
I love to eat, I love to make friends, I love to go out, I love to paint, I love to read, and I'm gay.
Bill for an act to prohibit same-sex marriage.
The Senate increased the punishment for gay marriage to 14 years.
The Senate passed a bill banning same-sex marriage and public display of affection of homosexuals.
Nigeria is trying to prohibit same-sex relationships, but is disguising it by giving it a misleading title.
Being gay, most people find it within our cultural and religious society that we claim to live in.
We should build more prison to take more people to jail. That's what that means. Is that what we want?
When you do not have all the elements as a human being, it breaks you down.
There is nowhere on earth where it is right not to defend human rights.
I I'm gay and I'm Nigerian and I'm proud to be gay. We don't want to be turned into refugees. We want the Sodomy law to be reviewed.
Laws are not meant to take away from one to satisfy the other.
I was locked inside the room for 2 days and nobody come and see me.
She stopped giving me allowances. That's what brought me out to the island, to my father's town.
I feel one is self-denial, total self-denial.
There are certain times when you'll be very proud of who you are, and there are certain times when you'll be very depressed.
I think every gay guy will ask that question, why am I gay?
I laughed. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm fucking gay.
Welcome back to No Strings. And I am Mike Damon. Hope you liked what you heard. Now, don't even bother searching for this documentary online or anywhere, because you won't find it anywhere. But here's the good news. There's a festival coming up in Abeokuta. It's called AK Arts and Book Festival, and Veil of Silence is going to be showing there. It would hold from the 17th to 21st November 2015. You can visit www.akfestival.com to book a space. I think it's 1,500 naira for tickets. Go have some fun. Okay, that'll be all for this week's episode, and don't forget to subscribe on the No Strings website using www.nostringspodcast.com. Follow on Twitter at NSPodcast1, like us on Facebook using facebook.com/NoStringsPodcast. And yes, of course, you can always email No Strings using info@NoStringsPodcast.com, or you have something personal you want to say or discuss with me, then email Mike Damon @NoStringsPodcast.com. Thank you. I'll be with you again next week. Bye-bye.